you're in trouble. You don't know what to do. So what's your first reaction? It is to run to the arm of flesh. It is to say, I've got to have help. Help me. Show me what to do. Tell me what to do. Oh, beloved, the first thing that you should do in the time of trouble is fall on your knees. Now, you don't have to do it literally. You might be walking down the street. You might be in a business meeting. You don't want to fall on your knees. But in your heart, you do. Woe be unto those that turn to the arm of flesh when God is there. We'll talk about it today. Well, beloved, we're in Jeremiah chapter 46, and we're looking at God's word to Egypt. And yesterday, as we looked at it, I brought before you Isaiah chapter 31. I want to talk about that verse for just a minute because it pertains to you, to me, to any nation when we need help. It says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they're many. They look at their armies and they say, we have all these chariots or we have all these tanks and we have all this field equipment and surely we're going to win. It says, and in horsemen because they're very, very strong. In other words, they're looking to their own greatness. They're looking to their own strength. They're looking to their own proudness. And it says, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. They don't look to him. He's the one. Yet he is also wise and will bring disaster and does not retract his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. God is the one that defends us. God is the one that protects us. It says, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. So the Lord will stretch out his hand. He who helps will stumble. He who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. Woe be unto those that go down to Egypt for help in the time of trouble. When you do that, in other words, you're seeking your own greatness. Now, that's our theme. Remember, Jeremiah chapter 45, when God turns to Baruch, who is living in these days of judgment, who knows what is going to come, who has written it down in a scroll, not once but twice, who has gone and read the scroll. He has written, he has heard from Jeremiah, he has written. Sounds like he's doing inductive study. And then he has stood up and he has proclaimed the very words of God. And he is weary. He is overwhelmed with his sorrow, with his pain, which is great, with just this weariness. And he needs rest. And God looks at him and he says, Baruch, are you seeking greatness for yourself? Do not seek it. I'm going to give you your life. I'm the one that's about to tear up what I have planted. I am the one that is about to bring down what I have built. These are days of judgment. You have to be prepared to stand. That's what he's saying to Baruch. And you know what? These are days of judgment. And you and I need to be prepared to stand. And if we're going to stand, we cannot stand in the strength of our flesh. We've got to stand in the power of God's word and in the authority of God's word. So let's go back to Jeremiah, and we're looking at chapter 46, and we're looking at God's word to Egypt. Now, I've read you all the verses about Egypt and then and how he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar down against Egypt Because these people said, we're going to Egypt and then we'll be free and Nebuchadnezzar won't get us. And we're not going to suffer famine and we're not going to experience the sword. And they experienced all those things. Why? Because they were seeking greatness for themselves, because they did not want to listen to God, because they were trusting in horses, because they were trusting in chariots. They were going down and trusting in Egypt. So God shows them this. Now watch what it says. It talks about Egypt. And the last line of verse 26, and this is where I stopped. It says, afterwards, speaking about Egypt, afterwards, however, it will be inhabited as of days of old. God is going to tear down Egypt. In verse 25, just in pencil, write Egypt and put an arrow going down. God's going to tear it down. Then in verse 26, write build and put an arrow up. Remember, God says that he builds, that he plants, that he uproots, that he overthrows, that he tears down, that he destroys. And so God is showing his sovereignty over the nations. Now, I want you to write next to verse 26, Isaiah chapter 9, 18 to 25. Isaiah chapter 9, 18 to 25. Now, we work in Egypt. We have the wonderful, wonderful privilege of working in Egypt. And we have the privilege of teaching people there how to discover truth for themselves. We have broadcasts that are being done by some of our people that we work with, our people that God has brought us together to work with in Arabic. And by the way, let me just stop and thank you. Let me thank you for supporting this program. But let me tell you, we need more supporters. We need partners. We're looking for people that say and think that this is the most important thing that people need today. And that is to know truth for themselves, to discover truth so that they can be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor is not in vain. We're not feeding the poor, although we help the poor. We're not working primarily with street children, although we teach street children how to study the Bible. Every place we work with Muslims, every place we are trying to introduce people to the Word of God themselves, because the Muslim faith talks about Jesus Christ, but they don't talk about him as the Son of God, as the eternal Word that was in the beginning. So they need to know truth. And so we're trying to reach the Arab-speaking world. But we need help. We need help keeping this program on the air so that we can help the United States of America know the Word of God, but also so that we can reach the nations. So would you pray? Would you pray about supporting this ministry? Would you go online to preceptsforlife.com, and see how you can join us in ministry, in a ministry that is absolutely fundamental and foundational. Well, when we come to Isaiah, and I was giving the verse, it's Isaiah chapter 19, we see the future of Egypt. And this is what is so exciting, because there is a future for this country. And it just blows your mind. It's talking about in verse 18 of chapter 19, in that day, let me go back. In that day, verse 16, Egyptians will become like women. They will tremble and be in dread because of the waving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he is going to wave over them. He's going to judge them. The land of Judah will become a terror to Egypt. Everyone to whom it is mentioned will be in dread of it, because the purpose of the Lord of hosts, which he is purposing against them. So yes, judgment is going to come on Egypt, but it's not the last chapter. It says it will be inhabited as in days of old. It says it in Jeremiah, excuse me. It says in Isaiah, verse 18, in that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will be speaking the land of Canaan and swearing, catch this, allegiance to the Lord of hosts. One city will be called the city of destruction. And that day there will be an altar to the Lord in its midst in the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord near its border. It will become a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Now watch, for they will cry to the Lord because of oppressors, and He, God, will send them a Savior and a champion, and He will deliver them. Do you know who that Savior and that champion is? It's Jesus, the Son of God. Thus the Lord will make Himself known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day. They will even worship with sacrifice and offering, and will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. The Lord will strike Egypt, striking but healing, so that they will return to the Lord, and He will respond to them and heal them. Listen, precious one, if God has struck you, if God has taken you to the divine woodshed, and He is dealing with you, and He is disciplining you, He is disciplining you because His intention, precious one, is to heal you. It's to bring you back, even as with Egypt. And he goes on to say that the Lord of hosts will be saying, verse 25, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands. Now listen, and Israel, my inheritance. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 46 and watch what he says. He's told Egypt that you will be restored. And then in verse 27, he says, but as for you, O Jacob, my servant, and I put a blue star of David there, do not fear, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for see, I am going to save you from afar. I'm going to reach out my hand and your descendants from the land of your captivity, and Jacob will return. He's talking about the future. And Jacob will return and be undisturbed, secure, with no one making him tremble. Now, Jacob is not secure now. And Jacob does tremble, and it fears the nations instead of fearing God. He says, O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, for I am with you. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you. Yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you properly and by no means leave you unpunished. Beloved, if you seek greatness for yourself, God has to deal with you. But if you will turn to God, God will be able to bless you. We're going to see next His word to the Philistines, the PLO. Israel referred to as the land of Palestine. They're saying, hey, it's the land that belongs to the Philistines. It's the land that does not belong to Israel. It is not the land of Israel. It is not Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Rather, it is the land of the Philistines. Do you know that the Bible never uses that term? Do you know who the Philistines were? Do you know what God has to say about the Philistines? Do you know that even the PLO is not a people? It is not a separate entity. It is not a nation. It is a political gathering of people that are opposed to Israel and that have convinced the world that Israel should give its land to them, and who are absolutely committed to driving Israel into the sea. Does God know about all this? Yes. And where are the roots of these people that are living in Gaza and Ashkelon and these ancient cities that are written in the Word of God and that still carry the same name? Well, this is what we're looking at in Jeremiah chapter 47. Remember, this is God's word to the nations. And this is what it says in verse 1. That which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh conquered Gaza. So what do you learn from this verse? If you observe it correctly, interpretation falls in your lap. But you see that God is speaking to the Philistines. And when is he speaking to them? He is speaking to them before Pharaoh conquered Gaza. So what is he telling them? He's saying Pharaoh is going to conquer Gaza. Egypt is going to come up and it's going to conquer Gaza. Now, if you will look at your map, you will see that these cities, that Ashkelon and that Gaza and these five Philistine cities, these main Philistine cities are all along the coastline. So watch what it says. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters are going to rise from the north. Now, the north is mentioned as a group of nations that is going to come down and be an enemy. That includes Babylon, but it goes beyond Babylon because there are others in the north that are going to come against Babylon. And we read this in Jeremiah 50, verse 41. So from the beginning, from the very first chapter of Jeremiah, we find out about enemies from the north. Let's just look at it because it's a message to the nations. And then this is what he says in verse 13 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. In other words, there are enemies coming down from the north. And then he says, and I am going to call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, and they will come, and each will set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. In other words, they're going to be enemies of Israel. They want to conquer Israel, even as the PLO does today. So you read it and watch what he says in verse 2 of Jeremiah 47. Behold, waters are going to rise from the north, overflow the land in all of its fullness, the city and those who live in it, and men will cry out, and every inhabitant of the land will wail. This is where I put a blue tear over this wailing and this crying because of the noise of the galloping hoofs of his stallions, the tumult of his chariots and the rumbling of his wheels. The fathers have not turned back for their children. They are so scared. They're so frightened that they're running away and they're leaving their children to suffer. This is a very common act in that part of the land, except for Israel. I have never met a nation that has higher regard for life than Israel. And yet the enemies around will use their children as shields. They will use their women and strap bombs onto them. They will call for them to be, to give their lives in jihad in a holy war and just to explode in order to kill. And they will feed them a lie about all the virgins and all the greatness that is theirs if they will buy the lie. Don't seek greatness for yourself. And some mothers want their children to do this, and so they train them to be suicide bombers. He goes on to say, because of the noise of the galloping hoofs of his stallions, the tumult of his chariots, the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers have not turned back for their children because of the limpness on their hands on account of the day that is coming to destroy all the Philistines, to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every ally that is left. They would conspire with Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon is present day Lebanon now. Every ally that is left for the Lord is going to destroy the Philistines. You have the Philistines as a perennial enemy. In the book of Judges, in 1st and 2nd Samuel, you finally have David conquering them, but they have been enemies always. It says the remnant of the coastlands of Kephor. That's Crete. And you read about it in Amos 9, verse 7. It says, baldness has come upon Gaza. Ashkelon has been ruined. O remnant of their valley, how long will you gash yourself? Ah, sword of the Lord, Mark's sword. How long will you, sword, not be quiet? Withdraw into your sheath, sword. Be at rest and stay still. And then it says, how can the sword be quiet when the Lord has given it an order? The Lord has given the sword an order. You've got to kill. You've got to strike. You've got to judge against Ashkelon and against the seacoast. There he has assigned it. There he has assigned it. Now look at what he says in the book of Zephaniah. In Zephaniah verse 4, it says, for Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon a desolation. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, to the nation of the Cherethites, those that came from Crete over to the shores and settled there. It says, the word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you so that there will be no inhabitant. Eventually, those enemies are going to be subdued by God Almighty. You know, as you read through his word to the nations, to some, like to Egypt, afterwards you'll be inhabited again. Later on, he's going to say, and I will restore their fortunes. But he does not say this to these enemies that God brought across from Crete to use as a burr in their saddle so that Israel would seek God. Or if not, he would use them as a hammer, as a rod of judgment against Israel. Oh, beloved, do you understand? Do you understand that God is in control? Do you understand that when you are confused and when you don't know where to go and what to do, that you are to cry to God, that you are to seek God? God is capable of answering you. Safety doesn't come through horses or chariots. Safety comes from the Lord. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. That's your lesson for today.
Because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
So what is our precept for life today? Well, it has to be that when you don't know what to do, you run to God. You don't seek greatness for yourself. See, to seek greatness for yourself is to act like God, is to try and figure it out, is to take matters into your own hands, is to say, if I do this, or I can manipulate this, or if I can make this happen, then I can. Oh, no. Now, I'm not saying the Lord doesn't want you to take action, but the Lord wants you to do what I just quoted to you, which is from Jeremiah chapter 17. And he's talking about trusting in the Lord. I've shared this with you before, but I just feel like you need it. It says, the Lord says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. I mean, that doesn't sound like a vacation spot. Sounds like a very hard place. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. You're going to trust in him, but also he is your trust because you recognize that he is God. And all you are seeking is to be pleasing to him. All you are seeking is to live for his glory, which means that you give a correct and true opinion or estimate of who he is by the way that you live, by the way that you talk, by the way that you handle difficulties and troubling questions and seeking answers, you go to the Lord. And when you do, you will be like a tree planted by the water. See the contrast. One's in an inhabitant without salt. You're going to see that later on this week. That extends, you're like a tree planted by the waters that extends its root by a stream. And listen to what it says. And will not fear when the heat comes. Hey, the heat is here. The heat is going to get worse. It's going to be turned up because of our iniquity, because we have trusted in horses and chariots and governments and leaders, and we have chosen men that promise us the moon and cannot deliver it because they are men. Men that God is opposed to because they are supporting things that are against the Word of God. You want green leaves in drought time? Trust the Lord.
Thank you for watching today. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.